It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to the table. This is our Bible study segment. We call this our segment two. Our teacher, Connie Stanfill, is here with us, and we're doing the Gospel of Mark. We're all the way up to lesson number 48, and we just thank you for being able to follow along. And of course, you can join us at any point in this study, but we've got all of these archived on our website at naomistable.com. And Connie, what are we learning about today in lesson 48?
Well, we're going to complete Mark chapter 14, and we're going to find out about the arrest of Jesus and his trials, and then, just what's going to happen leading up to the cross. So it's a fairly long chunk of scripture. I will be doing it in a couple sections, and I'm going to start here in Mark chapter 14, verse 43, and read through verse 52 to start with. And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out as robbers with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." And they all left him and fled. And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body, and they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. All right. So at the beginning here in verse 43, we are in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we find that Judas has come to lead a crowd to arrest Jesus. And it says, "and immediately," which again was one of Mark's favorite words, "while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders." And so the chief priests and scribes and elders have achieved what they wanted. They've been able to come and arrest Jesus in the dark, away from the crowds, and they have an insider, a disciple, there to identify Jesus. And we probably forget this, but there were no lights back then. They just had torches. And so in the dark, it could be hard to find someone, or someone could run away. And so to have a close follower of Jesus be able to walk right up to him and identify him is what's going to help them. It says, "Now the betrayer who had given them a sign, saying, 'The one I will kiss is the man, seize him and lead him away under guard.'" Verse 45, it says, "And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, 'Rabbi.'" So Judas called Jesus master, teacher, "and he kissed him." And the Greek means he kissed him repeatedly, demonstrably. And as we think about this, and you think about deception and betrayal and just all of what that means, and we know that Satan had entered into Judas, what we see here is that Satan, as the father of lies, is doing what he does best, and that is deceive. What an awful thing to betray someone with a kiss and an act of friendship. And then verse 46 says, "And they laid their hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear." From the other Gospels, we know that this is the Apostle Peter, always quick to act, drew out his sword, sliced off somebody's ear. And we also find from the other Gospels the name of that servant, and that the servant belonged to the high priest. And then we find that Jesus immediately healed him. And so here, Jesus is going to the cross, but he's still healing people. And then verse 48, "Jesus said to them, 'Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me.'" What we know from scripture is Jesus was never captured, or Jesus could never have been captured unless he allowed them to do that. Several times he just walked away from a crowd, melted through the crowd when they were trying to capture and seize him. And so this is God's timing, and Jesus is allowing them to do this. From John's gospel, we know they ask him who he is, and he says, "I am," and they all fall down. And so, again, Jesus allows himself to be arrested. And he also concludes with, he says, "But let the scriptures be fulfilled." And we find that throughout, especially through this passion account of Jesus, there are so many scriptures about what that was going to involve, that are predicted in the Old Testament, in the prophets and in Psalms and so many places. And Jesus is just saying, let this all be fulfilled. Because remember, we've already talked about how he told them, Zechariah 13, about how the shepherd will be struck and the sheep will be scattered. Because the next verse says, verse 50, and they all left him and fled. So here, this is where the disciples ran away. Jesus is being arrested, and they didn't want to be part of it. Verse 51 is very interesting because it says, and a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body, and they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. Only Mark's gospel gives us this interesting little account. And thinking is that perhaps this is young John Mark who wrote the gospel. If it truly was his family's home where the Passover meal was celebrated, and perhaps he knew something about them going out to Gethsemane, or perhaps Judas had first come to that house looking for Jesus, don't know, but he might have gotten up from sleep wearing just his sleep garment, gone out to there, somehow gotten involved with the crowd and the rest of Jesus, and following along, they thought to grab him, but he also ran away and actually left his garment there, so he ran away naked. Not sure, but an interesting little bit in the story here. Next, we find it's kind of a shortened, abbreviated account of some of what happens with Jesus in his trials. We know that there were several trials over in front of various people, but in Mark's gospel, he focuses on Jesus before the high priest and then Jesus before Pilate. And so we are going to be looking at his trial before the high priest at this point. So I'm going to read verses 53 to 65. It says, and they led Jesus to the high priest. And all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. And Peter had followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none, for many bore false witness against Jesus, but their testimony did not agree. And a side note here, in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, it talked about how when someone gave a testimony, or someone especially was going to be condemned to death, you needed two or three witnesses, and their testimony had to agree. Here we find that the council and the chief priests have brought forward some witnesses to say something, but they can't even come up with the same story. Verse 57 says, and some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands. And they've kind of messed up something Jesus said, because Jesus talked about destroy this temple, my body, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And then verse 59, it says, yet even among this, their testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood in their midst and asked Jesus, have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? And during a trial like this, what would happen is witnesses would present their case, and then they would talk to the defendant, which is Jesus. And to this point, the high priest must be incredibly frustrated because he doesn't have a good testimony against Jesus, and Jesus himself isn't saying anything. Because verse 61 tells us that he remained silent and made no answer. And truly, as we think about Jesus being silent and making no answer to charges against him, he's silent because he's going to bear our sin. We actually are the guilty ones. He's not, but he does not defend himself because he's going to the cross for us. The rest of verse 61 says, again, the high priest asked him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed, or the Son of God? And Jesus said, I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. So here we find that the priest is actually using Leviticus 5:1, which when someone speaks directly to a defendant and says, I adjure you by God to speak the truth, that's really what the high priest is saying to Jesus. And Jesus gave the first public declaration of exactly who he was at this time. He said, I am the Christ, the Son of God. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. And so Jesus has just said, yes, I am God the Son, and yes, I am the Messiah, and yes, I will rule forever, and yes, you will see me come again at the second coming with the clouds of glory. That's back in Daniel 7. What happens then, verse 63, it says, and the high priest tore his garments and said, What further witnesses do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision? And here again, the high priest is accusing Jesus Christ of blasphemy, but he's just spoken the truth. And the one thing the high priest never considered is that Jesus was the Son of God and that he was completely speaking the truth. And so here, Jesus Christ is found guilty for speaking the truth, and it's because they don't understand who he is or why he's come. Then when the high priest says, what is your decision? It says they all condemned him as deserving death. And so for the charge of blasphemy, for calling himself God, they've determined that he deserves to die. And then going on in verse 65, it says, and some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying to him, prophesy. And the guards received him with blows. And so we find out that they were abusing him at this point, which again fulfills scripture, because back in Psalms in Isaiah 53, it talks again about how they would pull out his beard and strike his back. And this all again is fulfilling scripture. So Jesus Christ is abused by the hands of man. He's been delivered into the hands of men who reject him, who actually reject his father also, because they don't understand either one of them. And so they're treating him as men treat people they hate. We look at this and we're sad, but it also, we have to understand that we ourselves have done the same to Jesus. We've rejected him before we've come to know him. And so may, as we read this account and study again in Mark, his suffering and death, may we be reminded of the cost of our sin, but also the beauty of what he's done for us and how his blood covers our sin so that we can be reconciled to God, to again be brought close to God and be his children. Going on here in Mark, we're going to hear the account of Peter and his denial of Jesus. And I think what this account does is it reminds us again of the forgiveness of our Savior. We are not faithful completely. We do not always follow him well. But there is forgiveness, and he will accept us back when we come back to him. So here in verse 66, it says, and as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with the Nazarene, Jesus. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you mean. And so this is Peter's first denial, and he's doing a very typical expression for that time, and it basically means, I don't know what you're talking about. And then it says he went away into the gateway and the rooster crowed. And so the rooster crows for the first time here. Verse 69, it says, and the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, this man is one of them. But again, he denied it. And the Greek means he actually kept denying it. And then after a little while the bystanders again said to him, certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. And we know that the Galileans dressed and talked a little bit differently. And so just like a regional dialect, he could be picked out as a Galilean. Verse 71, it says, but he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And so now Peter is actually swearing that he does not know Jesus. 72, and immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And so Jesus' words were fulfilled. Peter did deny him three times before the rooster crowed. And then it says, and Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down and wept. And so we have an account of Jesus told Peter what was going to happen. Peter has now done this. He's denied the Savior. As we look at it, we're sad, but we also know that there's forgiveness. And just as Peter was unable to be completely faithful to Jesus, we know we too fail at times, but may we pray, and may we hold fast to Jesus, receive his forgiveness, and then pick up and go on to be his followers and to follow him well. As we consider again all these events we've been talking about, his nighttime arrest and his trial, it really shows the wickedness, the evil of men, their cowardice, the deception of Judas, the betrayal, just the evil intent and malice of what people do to each other. But we also have highlighted against this the sinless Son of God and how he conducts himself when in the hands of sinful men, and how he speaks the truth and accomplishes the Father's purpose for our salvation.
Amen. Connie, this was an excellent lesson. And ladies, I just highly encourage you, if you tuned in halfway through, this separate podcast can be found at naomistable.com along with the study notes. Connie, we're going to take a little break right now, but when we come back, Nancy and I will break this down a little bit more. We'll be right back.